We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Oh, we're live, aren't we? I guess we should do a radio show.
You want to?
I don't not want to.
That's better.
I worked on it. You told me to.
You are getting better at that.
Coach. Hello, Upstate South Carolina. Hello, America. Hello, world. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. What's happening, y'all? Great to be back with you. What's it? Don't do that, Bruce.
It worked.
Relax, Bruce.
It worked.
Lon's over there's raising fists threatening the board. About to Hulk smash the furthest button to the right. For not bowing to his will, I guess.
I felt the fear of the dirty potentiometer, and it said, dude, I don't want none. All right. And now I can hear. So there we go.
Potentiometer. Don't know that one. Lonzo's full of words I don't know today.
It's a knob, man. It's just.
Yeah, but what's it do?
Not its job right now, I will tell you that.
Potentiometer?
Potentiometer.
Ometer. Potentiometer. Ometer is a three-terminal resistor with a sliding or rotating contact that forms as an adjustable voltage divider. It's a knob.
It's a knob, yes.
It's a knob.
Yes. One of the few things that I retained from recording school.
Learn something new every day, don't we, ladies and gentlemen? We're just here to make your life better, and that's what we're going to do for the next 2 hours, 55 minutes and 30 seconds starting right now. I am Rob. He is Lonzo, the great one. Great to be with you once again. On a Thursday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and it is going to be a very, very, very busy one today, folks. We've got for you coming up at 1 o'clock this afternoon. We will be joined by Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast. We'll talk to Rashad. You know, we've thrown a couple of theories out about the Panthers the last couple of days. We'll get Rashad's thoughts on them coming up then at 1:20. Mark Shelley, the voice of your Upstate hockey team, the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, going to join us right here on the show. The Rabs went bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-S, last night. Dropped four in the first period en route to a victory. We're going to talk about that game and a couple of really big ones coming up this weekend that we're going to talk about as well right there at the Bonscore Wellness Arena. So we're joined by Mark Shelley at 1:20 and then an hour after that at 2:20. What's today, Lonzo?
It's time for Fight Club, baby.
Fight Club, your home for all things combat sports. And we'll do some MMA and potentially some boxing in there along with our weekly wrestling talk coming up at 2:20. So, a lot of stuff to get to, a lot of stuff to talk about. If you want to be a part of the program, do it. 844-GSP-ESPN. The text line's open at 71307, the Preferred Home Services text line. Again, 71307. Start your text with ESPN. And we will read them on the air. Before we get to any of that, though, Lonzo, we have got to start the show with this. The lunch breakdown of three things you have to know before you go start talking sports with your friends, family, coworker, the dog, whoever you spend your lunch break with. This will be the scuttlebutt. These will be the items you're discussing around the lunch table today, ladies and gentlemen. And we start with item number one, the thing I'm most excited about tonight, this evening, Team USA Soccer back in action. They take on El Salvador in a World Cup qualifying matchup. This one's going to be in Columbus, Ohio, the first of a pivotal three-match window. Currently, the Americans sit in second within the World Cup qualifying octagonal. They are a point behind Canada, but only 1 point ahead of two other teams. Mexico and Panama sit at 3 and 4 with 14 points a pop. It's a long drop back to Costa Rica with 9, Jamaica with 7, El Salvador with 6, Honduras with 1. Fortunately, two of the next three for the Americans take place against the bottom two teams in the octagonal. Unfortunately, the one stuck in the middle of those takes place at the team that is atop the octagonal. That is Canada on Saturday evening. Going to be cold, going to be blustery, potentially on and off snowy in Ohio tonight. So we'll see how that impacts the American speed advantage. But this, ladies and gentlemen, I don't say this very often, this is a must win. It's not an option. You have to win this game if you're the Americans. You need to walk out of this octagonal. You need to walk out with no fewer than 6 points. 6 is the baseline expectation here. I'd like to go with 9. If we walk with 7, I'd be okay with it. But you got to get out of here with at least 6 if you want any chance to be. Remember, the top three teams in this octagonal, which would right now be Canada, U.S., and Mexico, as Mexico has a +2 advantage on Panama in goal differential, the top three teams will automatically qualify for the World Cup. The team that ends in fourth place will have to do a one-game playoff against the fourth-place team from the Oceania Conference, which includes New Zealand and would likely, as of today, be the Kiwis. Not a game you want to play, especially considering that playoff would be in Qatar. You would have to fly to the other side of the planet to play a do-or-die situation. Winning, you're in. Losing, you go home. And with the disappointments that have been going on lately for the Americans, you'd like to just go ahead and get in. You'd like to just go ahead and get in. So tonight is a big one. It is a huge match because it is one of the mandatory wins for the Americans coming through this. El Salvador has just one win in the last 8 matches. They sit 7th out of 8. The team isn't mathematically eliminated, but they are far enough back where a draw does not help them. They need to be getting 3s, and they are going to throw everything they've got at the Americans tonight. You are going to get the best effort El Salvador has, because not only do they need 3s, they need to be dishing out 0s to the teams that are ahead of them so that they have any chance of climbing from 7 up to 4th and at least getting into the playoff spot. That being said, the best El Salvador has should not be able to beat the starting 11 that the Americans are going to throw out there tonight. Matt Turner allowed 3 goals while starting the first 5 matches of qualifying. The New England Revolution goalkeeper dropped in favor of Zach Steffen for the last 3 games against Costa Rica, Mexico, and Jamaica. But this time around, Steffen is with his club, Manchester City, getting treatment for back stiffness. So Matt Turner goes back into the goal. In the defensive back spot, John Brooks will be leading the charge. Anthony Robinson joining him. And DeAndre Yedlin, who just left his contract with Galatasaray on Thursday, is expected to arrive in Columbus to either last night or today. If he is unavailable, Reggie Cannon will likely be the next man up. In the midfield, Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, and Yunus Musa are expected to be the three young guys, a lot of potential there, and they are going to be asked to get the ball forward to Ricardo Pepi, Timothy Weah, or Brandon Aaronson, and Christian Pulisic across the top, should they all be available. We'll break that game down more in depth later on in the show. That being said, that game is this evening in Ohio. Kickoff set for 6:30 Eastern Standard Time at lower.com field in Columbus. The Americans go into this as a -625 moneyline favorite. You got to bet 625 to win a hundo on the Americans this evening. That's big time. That's big time. Item number 2 on the lunch breakdown this morning. He has called it a career. Big Ben Roethlisberger is retiring from the National Football League. 18 seasons, and he says, "I retire a truly grateful man. He said, quote, the journey has been exhilarating, fueled by a spirit of competition, yet the time has come to clean up my locker, hang up my cleats, and continue to be all I can be to my wife and children. I retire from football a truly grateful man. The 39-year-old is likely a Hall of Famer. Two Super Bowl wins, Rookie of the Year honors, and the fifth most passing yards in NFL history, eligible for the Hall in 2027. He said, I've been here a long time, and it's been a lot of fun, end quote. Big Ben, drafted by the franchise, the 11th overall back in 2004, took over the starting job from an injured Tommy Maddox against the Ravens in week two of his rookie year, led the Steelers to a 15-1 regular season record before losing to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, won his first Super Bowl a year later against the Seahawks, won another 3 years later defeating the Cardinals on a game-winning touchdown throw to Santonio Holmes with 35 seconds left, finished his career with a franchise record 165 regular season victories, fifth most in NFL history, also earned a .67 regular season winning percentage as a starting quarterback, the second highest in franchise history, the sixth highest in the NFL. Of course, Roethlisberger well known for some off-the-field drama that followed him around a little bit, but if you are talking about the player himself, Ben Roethlisberger, as a player, had a monumental impact on the game. 18 years, and he is done. We kind of assumed that after that playoff loss. Didn't end the way he wanted to, but 18 years, how much can you ask for, you know? Item number three on the lunch breakdown, we have got, as of an hour ago, two new head coaches in the National Football League. The Chicago Bears have reportedly found their replacement for the fired Matt Nagy. According to Adam Schefter, they have hired Matt Eberflus, defensive coordinator from the Indianapolis Colts, as their new head coach. The 51-year-old is a football lifer, but has never been a head coach at any level until now. Started his career at the college level working as an assistant in Toledo and Mizzou for 17 years before he came to the NFL. Hired by the Browns to be linebackers coach in 09. After two seasons, moved on to the Cowboys, was there for 7 years as linebackers coach. Joined Josh McDaniels' coaching staff on the Colts, which turned into Frank Reich's coaching staff after McDaniels reneged on the agreement and stayed with the Patriots. Over Eberflus's four seasons with the Colts, his defense finished with the second most takeaways in the league and the third fewest yards per carry. In three of the 4 years, the Colts finished in the top 10 of points allowed. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, newly hired GM Ryan Poles conducted the second interview. He interviewed former Detroit Lions head coach Jim Caldwell on Tuesday, and Dan Quinn, as well as Matt Eberflus, on his second day, and decided that Eberflus was the way to go. Also joining them in the now we have a head coach department, the Denver Broncos have decided to hire Nathaniel Hackett as their head coach. They are hiring the Green Bay offensive coordinator, according to ESPN. Hackett has worked with quarterbacks at all phases on the developmental curve, was scheduled to interview with the Jaguars on Thursday, but the Broncos stepped in Wednesday night to get a deal done and prevent him from going to Jacks. It'll be Hackett's first stint as a head coach. He becomes Denver's fourth different coach since the start of the 2016 season, after replacing Vic Fangio. Fangio, of course, going 7-10 this past season, the Broncos' fifth consecutive losing season. Hackett's hiring will also, of course, immediately bring speculation about whether or not this move may have been moved, Lonzo, to try to bring Aaron Rodgers and also free agent Davante Adams both to Denver. A-Rod's quarterback coach goes to Denver, gets him out of the division, gets him on the other side of the country, lines him up with a team that's got some talent, and brings his number one wide receiver with him. There are question marks, and they are fair.
You know, the scary thing is I've been seeing all over social media pictures of those two in Broncos uniforms. It's just not right. It's not. It doesn't look good. It's a bad idea.
There are a lot of Broncos fans that are very much waking up excited today.
Oh, I don't blame them. I mean, I'd be excited too when you already got a pretty good team. But some people are saying, why would Aaron Rodgers go there with Mahomes there and the Chargers quarterback there? And why would he go there? He'd go there for that kind of competition. Why wouldn't he? He seems like that kind of guy that would go there just to compete with those two guys.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert. That's who I was thinking.
Yeah. I mean, you open up
imagine the AFC West with those three quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah. Super Bowl winner's probably coming out of that group, right? Somebody's going to be battle-tested by the end of the year. All right. So there's three items on the lunch breakdown today. USAV El Salvador at 6:30. Big Ben is done as a player. The Bears and Broncos have a new head coach. Let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute from right now, I've got some interesting quotes and comments. We're going to go away from football for just a minute because, obviously, the second hour will open up with more Panthers talk. So we're going to get away from football for just a minute. I have got two different instances in smaller sports. Not smaller. Less viewed. Tennis and golf.
Smaller.
Tennis and golf. I've got two instances where players have really popped off the last couple of days. And I find it very interesting. And I want to know, is this the kind of stuff that would make you more or less interested to try out one of these sports? I'll tell you what I mean when we come back. I'm Rob. He's Lonzo. You're listening to The Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, so I got a couple of things here, and I'm just sometimes I do some segments just because I'm curious as to what y'all think, right? I got two different instances that I want to ask questions about, and I'll start with this one. We like our drama, right? We like our drama. We're a big fan of drama. You can say you're not, but sports are drama, and that's why we love sports.
I personally save that for my mama, but that's just me.
You might save the drama for your mama, but you a drama fan. We all are a little bit of drama fans. Anyway, earlier this week, Denis Shapovalov is a Canadian who shocked the Aussie Open. He was playing in the quarterfinals of the Australian Open, taking place right now, down under. Shrimp on the Bobby and all that. I'm not good at that. Anyway, down under.
Yeah, when Steve Irwin went away, everyone just kind of, lost that.
Yeah.
Sad loss for everybody, by the way.
Oh, the Mount Rushmore of great people, Steve Irwin's on it. It's like Steve Irwin, Mr. Rogers, Bob Ross.
Because when he was with us, he was everywhere. So you couldn't help but try to do that accent.
Oh, you had to love Steve. Who didn't love Steve Irwin? Guy's a goat. Anyway, Denis Shapovalov was taking on Rafael Nadal at the U.S. Open in the quarterfinal. And, he had said in the past that he thought that some players had gotten preferential treatment, specifically the big three. Well, Shapovalov was on the court taking on Nadal. We got towards the end of the second set, and Rafael Nadal had to take a little bit of a break. There are rules about what can and can't happen when you have a when you need a medical break to get retaped up or your ankle's bum or whatever. Well, Roth was apparently having some stomach issues. It was like 100 something degrees outside. Eh, it's a little warm. Roth was having a bit of a stomach issue, took a break, and while he took a break, he also took a bathroom break. Well, last year, Denis Shapovalov in another tournament was in a similar spot, asked for a bathroom break, and was told no. Was told no. Said he was taking too long to play. Well, Roth got a medical break and a restroom break, and Denis was not thrilled about it. So he made his concerns known. Later on, after a set break, when it was time to flip court and flip serve, Denis Shapovalov was ready to serve, and Roth Nadal was like just coming off the bench and taking his time. Shapovalov had already been warned for slowing down play. Nadal was not warned for throwing down play. So Denis Shapovalov had enough, went to the umpire, and said this to his face.
Playing Jim's favorite music there, a bit of Neil Diamond.
So long ago, he's still not ready to play.
Yeah,
you
got to
code him.
Yeah, Shapo asking for Nadal to be given a time violation. Probably not going to ingratiate him with Rafa.
He's not ready to play either because he came to talk to me.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
You guys are all corrupt.
You guys are all corrupt. That's not going to ingratiate him with the chair umpire either. He's not making any friends out here.
He says to the ump, "You guys are all corrupt." In the NFL, that's like a $150,000 fine, right? He says, "You guys are all corrupt." Now, the thing is, he kind of had a point, I think. He kind of had a point because it absolutely did seem like Roth was taking his time getting set back up and back into the action. It really did seem like he was kind of taking his time a little bit, and it was a little bit frustrating for Shapovalov. And I think he may very well have a point. Lonzo, I got to tell you, I appreciate in a spot like that a dude who's genuinely willing to air it out, right? Because I was thinking the same thing. He's sitting on the service line with the ball, ready to go. Roth's still over on the bench, and not a single person. The rest clock is hit zero. Not a single person goes, "Roth, tick-tock, big dog. We got to go."
You know, purely from an entertainment standpoint, I would rather have heard him go McEnroe. He was a little too polite, even in him calling everyone corrupt. You need a little bit of anger behind
you. You cannot be serious!
Exactly.
I don't know.
This is not unheard of in the sport. We haven't heard anything about it in a while, but I find it kind of refreshing. And if it's true, and it sounds like it is true, that a star was getting preferential treatment, you got to call him out on it.
You do. And I'm glad somebody did.
But don't count on getting those calls when it's right on the line and things like that from now on, because, you know, all those umpires are going to, they're going to band together, solidarity, and you're in trouble for the rest of your career.
I mean, I'd like to hope that this is a point where people start calling it out, right? Like, I need other players to step up and call it out, because I absolutely agree. I do think that Roth, I think that that Novak, I think that all the big ones have gotten some preference. But again, it's good for tennis, right? It's good for tennis to have superstars. We talked about this with golf for how many years, right? Golf hit its incline. Golf hit its most popular when what? When Tiger Woods was a huge celebrity. When Tiger Woods was a superstar in every sense of the word, it was at that point that golf was at its most popular. It was at that point that golf was getting video games. It was at that point that golfers were showing up at Super Bowls and being recognized as celebrities. It was at that point that golf was at its heyday. I mean, I'm talking even back to the old days with the Masters and all that. It was at that point in time when golf was as well recognized, as recognized as it's ever been anywhere else ever. And I respect that. And I respect that. You got to have it. That's what tennis has done. Rafa Nadal, Novak. By the way, I promise you that tennis doesn't hate what's going on with Novak Djokovic right now, right? He basically got banned from the Aussie Open because he wasn't vaccinated. Australia's rules are, if you want to be here, you got to be vaccinated. He got his card. A judge said, yes, you can come here. Then another judge said, no, you absolutely cannot. That guy was wrong. He wasn't allowed in the Aussie Open, and it cost him another chance to win a major. And there's a lot of controversy surrounding that. Tennis loves it because they're getting eyes on that sport that they wouldn't otherwise ordinarily have. And it doesn't matter if you're pro-Novak or anti-Novak. The majority of us have a side because this is a story that crosses over into real life a little bit. And so there are some folks that are in Novak's corner, some that aren't, but tennis doesn't care because this is the most a tennis player has been talked about maybe ever. He's on every major news channel, right?
The same thing has happened in NASCAR to a degree when there have been fights and then suddenly it's everywhere and people are talking about NASCAR. Drama gets people to look at your sport that haven't looked at it in a while or have never looked at it to see what's up. And then suddenly you're watching, okay, this guy's a hothead. What's he going to do the next time he's out on the court? You can't help but want to see what that is. And then maybe they hook some people with that.
Yeah. I mean, look. What was the biggest thing NASCAR's had going for it in the past couple of years? Bubba Wallace, right? With the controversy that happened out in Talladega, with the show of support for Bubba out of the other drivers, Michael Jordan getting into the sport. I mean, these are all drama. This is all drama, and the more of it there is, the more eyes go to the product. Now, speaking of drama, let's ask you if this helps. We talked about tennis. Let's flip over to boxing for just a minute. John Rahm is the world number one right now. John Rahm had a hell of a year last year. Colin Morikawa, who has been nipping his heels in the last couple of tournaments, the two of them had some interesting comments. They were competing at the American Express Championship last weekend, and John Rahm, after one hole, said, piece of blank blanking setup. It's a putting contest this week. Why did he say that? Hudson Swafford, the winner, 23 under, and there were a bunch of guys that were lined up right in that same ballpark from that spot. Colin Morikawa was in the same boat. He said the same thing. It's a putting contest. It's too easy right now. He said it's fun to go out there occasionally and shoot. In fact, Morikawa, here's a quote. It's fun to shoot 34 under sometimes, but if I had to do it every week, I'd kind of get sick of it. You need balance. And I agree, right? When I tune in to watch golf, I don't tune in to watch superheroes do so. I tune in to watch golf courses make PGA golfers look like me, right? I tune in to watch those guys have to hack a little bit. It is impressive to watch dudes stripe a 320 drive down the center of the fairway. It's absolutely impressive. But I enjoy it when I watch a guy end up 3 yards right off the fairway in ankle-deep grass and has to figure out how to play that up and out. The game of golf has athletes openly right now saying it's too easy. The courses are too easy. They're set up too easy, etc. That's the opposite, right? There's no drama in that. In fact, these golfers are saying the exact opposite. They're saying there is no drama. There's no drama because there's nowhere you can make a mistake and have it ruin your day. You hit it 10 feet off into the rough. It's not really that rough. It's just like slightly higher grass. And it's ultimately, it kind of takes away from the game. If there are golfers that are consistently, Lonzo, going out and shooting 34, 35, 40 under on a tournament, not that I was going to have great odds to get you to tune in for a Sunday anyway, but does it help or hurt?
Well, this is the opposite of watching a football game. Football game, you see more scores. A lot of people are into that. In this case, if you see a score that low, it's like, how easy is this guy's home course? How come everyone is scoring so low? It definitely makes it not as interesting.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Hey, you made it to Thursday.
I really did. I don't know. I like when golf courses play tough, and when you end up in a situation where golfers coming out going, this is too easy.
Yeah, if he hadn't said that, do you run out and play that course thinking, wow, they're hitting this far under, and then you get there and go, that's not how this is supposed to happen.
I don't think I have that option. If I did, sure. But I don't think I have that option, unfortunately.
Says the guy who's had people call him and say, hey, come to the Masters and
that is
come
true.
To this. Yeah.
That is true. That did happen. All right. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Email me, Rob Brown at ESPNUpstate.com. I always forget to mention the email. I want to remind you that coming up this weekend, your AFC and NFC championship game will both be carried live right here on ESPN Upstate, folks. If you are going to be out and about driving around in the car, got to work on Sunday, well, worry not, my friends. We will have play-by-play from opening to last whistle of both of those games. You will hear who punches the tickets to the Super Bowl right here on ESPN Upstate. Let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute from right now. I want to talk ACC basketball. How about last night in the ACC? It's getting weird, man. We'll talk about where Clemson matches up and all of that. Plus, South Carolina women's basketball was supposed to play UConn tonight, the other best team in the country. They are not doing that. Why? Does Dawn Staley have a point? We'll argue that later on as well. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. What a good night in the ACC last night in basketball. Georgia Tech shocks FSU. FSU had been on a good run. Georgia Tech beats them. Miami wins on an absolute buzzer beater last night. 78-75 over Virginia Tech. North Carolina edges BC. And Notre Dame 73-65 winners over NC State. The night before that, though, was the game that had everybody talking just a little bit. Duke, Clemson. Brad Brownell's boys 11-9, 3-6 in the ACC up against a Duke team that had just lost to FSU a couple of days before that. And they fall 71-69. Clutch time, just could not get it done. You know, Lonzo, I really do hate when sports cliches get brought up over and over again. But the whole premise of Duke gets away with a lot, it's true. It's just, at this point, it's not even, like, it's not debatable anymore.
For how much
anymore.
Longer, though?
Good question. Does it stick around when Mikey K is gone?
Yeah, does all that end after this season? Does the Duke mystique go away? Is it more the coach than it is the school?
I don't know, man. I mean, Mike Krzyzewski made Duke, right?
But he's also very respected to a point where I think they allow his team to get away with more. And who remembers a time before Krzyzewski? So you don't, I mean, you know, there's that. So you don't know how they were treated before then.
I'd be curious. That's a good question. Will it be the same down the road? Will it be the same when Mike Krzyzewski is no longer there? I don't know. What I do know is that there were about four different spots down the floor late in that game where I watched, and again, I'm not a college basketball referee, but I don't think you need to be sometimes, right? I think the obvious ones are obvious. Watched about three different spots down the stretch of that game, including on the big man for Duke, Banchero, who brought a huge right hand down and to the left of, I do not remember who had the ball. I want to say it was maybe Alamir Dawes. One of them had the ball, and the big right hand came over the top. And to me, it was like, how's that not called? I think Clemson took a lot of heat for not finishing that game. I think Clemson was in a spot where they didn't really have a whole heck of a lot of option there. Yeah, there's a miss here and there. A couple of free throws that came up short, you know, that I think they'd want back. But you got to have better. By the way, actually, I say that. This is interesting, Lonzo. I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, did I miss something here? How many free throws did Clemson take in that game, Zoe? They were 29 of 71 from the floor. They were 11 of 26 from the three-point line. It's not a great shooting night. 40% from the floor, 42% from the three-point line.
Where was this played at?
This was at Duke.
So I'm going to say Clemson took 5 free throws. Wow. That would be 1, wouldn't it?
Yep. Now listen, I've heard a lot of people say, how do you expect to win when you're shooting at 40%, right? Duke shot 48.1%. They were 50%, 10 of 20 from the three-point line. They went to the line 13 times in that game.
Well, you grow up and you go to Clemson to play basketball. All you hear about is how you can't beat Duke at their house. That's got to be in your head, always in the back of your head. You want to be the team that does it, but always in the back of your head, something makes you fall short. At least it seems that way. And it could be the refs not calling. It could be not getting free throws.
I mean, again, shooting 40.8%, 41% from the floor is not going to get it done when you're on the road at Duke. But at the same time, I mean, I got to tell you, it'd be easy for me to get you to shoot 40% if the refs are sending you to one. Unless ESPN's writing the stats down wrong. Now, I was working, so I had the game on in the background, and I was checking in when there would be a run or whatnot. But unless I'm reading ESPN's box score wrong, they shot a free throw. Single one.
And missed it, looked like.
Yeah, and 0 for 1.
Yeah.
I can make you go 40.8% if I'm allowed to whack the hell out of you every time you take a shot. Right? Listen. I've heard the last couple days a lot of questions about Brad Brunau. And frankly, I think a lot of them are warranted.
Are
I think a lot of them are justified.
Same questions that we heard last year and the year before.
And I got news for you about next year, too. I got news for you about next year if he gets another one. Yes. And I think it's fair, and I think I'm fine with those questions being asked. I think it's absolutely fair to ask those questions. How does this team go there and shoot 40.8%? That can't happen. But you can only do so much to control how many times you get to the line, right? You can only do so much to control how often you get to the line. And getting a free throw, it's tough to do. I don't want to sit here and say you can blame this loss on that. But one free throw for a college basketball team, one? How's that even a thing? I went yesterday because the first thing I saw once that L went bad was a bunch of Clemson fans on social media blaming the refs. And I'm like, here we go again, right? Here we go again. There are games where sometimes the referees are really bad and they sway the game one way or the other, but this has got to be too much, right? And then I went and looked. 0 for 1 from the free throw line. One free throw. Yeah, it's super easy to keep a team at 40%, ladies and gentlemen, if you're allowed to just shoulder check them every single time that they go up for a shot. This is a bubble team, all right? I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that, you know, Clemson's looking at a 5-seed. Clemson, they're not. They're a bubble team. They're going to be a bubble team. They're going to stay a bubble team. There's no doubt about it. But these are the type of wins that really help you out. These are the type of the wins that really help you out. This one has got to be one to grow on, right? This is one you've got to get better. This is one you have to look ahead now. You took the L to Duke, coming off of you had a 3-game losing streak to Notre Dame, Boston College, and Syracuse. You beat Pitt. Now, you got a couple of days break. February 2nd, Florida State comes to the house. 2-2, FSU's at the house. That's a massive game. This is an FSU team that's got some good wins. They're probably a, 11 seed, 10 seed, something like that. Florida State's sitting at 13-6, 6-3 in the ACC. This is the game Clemson has to win at home. Must win this game at home. Then you're at Georgia Tech, a team that just beat Florida State. That'd be a huge one, too. Clemson's playing for a bubble. Now, without a doubt, playing to get on the bubble. But those games, like the one at Duke, those are the ones that put you to the next level. And again, your backs were against the wall when officials are sending you to the line one time. And by the way, Duke fans, of which I know there's a few, don't get mad when people say the refs support Duke. Clemson shot a free throw. You think that was an accident? Come on, man. Come on. Let's take a break. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one. We're going to be joined by Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast at 1 o'clock. Mark Shelley, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits at 1:20. 2:20, Fight Club comes your way. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's ESPN Upstate. Finishing up hour number one here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. A couple of stories I wanted to get into. Brooklyn Nets have said that they will shun any deadline offers made for a trade for James Harden. And, of course, they would. Why wouldn't they? They're the odds-on favorites to win the NBA title this year. Why would they? That didn't shock me, right? Harden's a free agent at the end of the year.
Cry in your beard, James. You're staying here.
Earlier this week, James Harden said, in a story that made me LOL, James Harden said that he was growing frustrated, Lonzo, at how inconsistently the officials are calling penalties in the league this year. No. See, James, you're not frustrated that they're being inconsistent. In fact, quite the opposite. You're frustrated that they're being more consistent. You're frustrated at the fact that when you got to a point where 60% of your game was shoot a weird J and jump into a defender to draw a foul, that the NBA went, yeah, no. And you don't have that anymore. So now you're trying to go look for fouls in places that there aren't any, and you're getting frustrated because you're not getting them. Cracked me up. Loved it. As if there was one dude in the league who deserved to whine about inconsistent fouls being called. It's James, my whole career been made this way, Harden. Come on, James. You know what's so frustrating? Is James Harden should be one of the best we've ever seen do it. Dude's got a cross at the line that still rocks dudes to sleep. All right? But James Harden has gotten to the point where he doesn't know how to do it anymore. At least he doesn't feel like he knows how to do it anymore without drawing cheat. It's like the whole game is draw fouls, draw cheat fouls.
Well, when you've been allowed to get away with it your whole career, did you ever look at James Harden and think that beard's not real? Like he hangs it up at night and he's like three or four in his closet and he like sneaks out and goes anywhere he wants because no one will recognize him without it.
Snaps it off the side sideburns.
It looks like action figure beard. It just doesn't look real.
Yeah, I don't know, man. And for the record, I've said for years, I don't get mad at James Harden for having played that way. It doesn't bother me that James Harden's played that way.
Because the league allowed him to do it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. If tomorrow I found a way to make my job easier and get paid more, I'd also do that thing. Right? Of course, we all look for ways to do that. James Harden found a way to put more points on the board and get paid a lot more money to do it. I'm not mad at him, but now that that's off the books and he's got to go back to, you know, playing offense, he's lost. He's lost. And the fact that he is complaining about inconsistent officiating when my dude has made his career off of inconsistent officiating, it just made me laugh a little bit. Anyway, the Nets say we are not looking to move James Harden, and I'm not surprised they're not looking to move James. Why would you? Don't worry, Lonzo. I got that sound coming up later.
Yeah, I know. Now I get the visual with it.
My man Giannis walked into the postgame presser with a bucket of chicken wings and was just gnawing down on wings while answering questions. By the way, after a loss, gets drilled by the Cavs, rolls into the postgame presser with a bucket of chicken wings. They're like, hey, Giannis, what went wrong? Fantastic stuff, Giannis. Except if I didn't like that guy. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast, joins us. We'll talk some Carolina Panther football. Then Mark Shelley, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, joins us at 1:20. Fight Club at 2:20. We busy, y'all, on the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.